Hello and good morning, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Magic the First Pioneers Podcast. Waking up with you this morning, I'm Kevin Finkel, and this is a podcast all about the Pioneer format, and we keep our listeners up to date with what is new, interesting, and powerful in the world of Pioneer. Joined here by my co-host and our favorite current guest.
Hey, everybody, it's Ryan, straight off the train. I just got raced home so I could do this podcast.
And hi, everyone, it's also Ekiros here, Amit, and nice. I am racing to do this podcast before going to my work, so
there we go.
We all managed to fit the time zone somehow. I don't know how, but it works.
Yeah, we always have fun trying to work time zones for three different places around the earth. Well, good morning, guys. Welcome. This episode, pretty excited about this one. So if you guys listen to the part one of this one, it's not necessary to listen before we talk about part two, but in case you didn't listen to it, I will give you some nice preface. What the idea for this podcast, this episode was, and you know, this is part two of kind of the same idea, is that COVID happened, 2020, kind of a complete wash for Magic players. A lot of people had to play online because you can't really play in store, can't really play in any big tournaments. So online was a place to go. Big but with that is that, you know, if you're anything like me, it's been a year and a half and you haven't been buying paper Magic cards.
Yep.
And there's a whole bunch of sets out. And if you want to be going out to your store sometime soon, playing some Pioneer in paper sometime soon, you might need to kind of jumpstart your collection. So what we're doing is we're going through cards in Pioneer. I'm making a big focus on kind of the last year and a half because I had a lot of Pioneer staples before that. Mm-hmm. I know, you know, Ryan, you were kind of going further back. You know, you were looking at cards that weren't high value. You were going a little bit more broad, like these are the most important cards in color. I was kind of going, here are the cards in colors printed in the last year and a half, 2020.
Yeah.
Basically since Throne of Eldraine is when things kind of dropped off. And what we're doing is, you know, the first episode we went through just monocolored. We tried to limit ourselves because we knew we could talk about this forever. So we're going to focus on multicolored cards for this set. The idea is, hey, these are some cards that will be worth buying. They're good in multiple decks. They're, you know, worth their value. They are, you know, a format staple that's being used in multiple places. And we're also talking about, like, you know, we're doing a little bit of finance here. We'll be, you know, looking up some prices so you guys have comparisons. There are places where we'll be like, hey, you know, this card, all of its cost is because of Standard. Maybe wait until the fall when Standard rotates if you really don't want to spend, you know, $16 on a whatever, then you can wait a little bit of time and it might drop. So that's kind of the idea with this set, or with this podcast. I'm rambling here, so if you guys want to jump in, any other points you want to preface?
Well, what I wanted to say is I think it's going to be too much to talk about all the multicolor cards, like the three color and stuff like that. So my focus was mainly just on like the guild colors today, just the two color combinations.
Okay, that's fine by me.
Because I think that's still a lot. You know,
yeah, it's like, so you really need to wait another week just to tell people, hey, don't spend all your money on sea rhinos.
Yeah. I mean, you could do that now if you want.
Yeah, I was wondering. Like, preparing for this episode, I looked up the guild cards, but then I was like, maybe I should look for three color cards, and I'm not even sure there are any
that are worth getting.
Like, in general, that are just seeing play. But yeah, I'm sorry, I cut you off.
Me? Oh, yeah, I mean, I was just saying there was already a lot. Like, if there's like 10 guilds, and if we did like a top five for each, that's still like 50 cards to talk about. So that's a nice, decent selection of cards. And I think I didn't really have a problem finding most of these. There might have been a couple that maybe I struggled to find like a fifth, but I think for the most part, it's pretty easy. And I think we'll probably agree on a lot of these. What about you guys? Did you have a pretty easy time putting the list together?
Reasonably easy. And, you know, I'm always half prepared and have I've either got more or less for each color. Mm-hmm. I think pretty much none of them I'm right at an even five. So I'll be making up decisions as I go here.
So before we start, though, I think I asked this last time and I want to ask it again. You know, do new players or people that are getting into Pioneer in paper, do they need to buy every staple to be competitive? Should they go out and buy, you know, all of the white, blue, black, and, you know, whatever cards? What's
your No. Certainly no. So, you know, we were talking about some cards last week. Like Selfless Spirit is a strong card in white. Pretty expensive, mostly because of the cost of Modern. And I was saying, hey, you know, if you know you're going to be playing the Spirits deck, this card's played in that deck. If you're not sure what deck you're going to play, if you're not a Spirits player, like, that doesn't attract you, then don't bother. You know, it's not something that's going to be a cross deck staple.
Don't feel the need to go out and grab everything.
And even inside colors, you get, like, cards that are good in aggro and cards that are good in control and cards that are good in, like, other decks. So you don't even have to buy all the staples from one color to play that color.
You know, like, if you are a white aggro player...
So my Jeskai Marvel deck shouldn't be buying Phoenixes?
Yeah, there you go. If you want to, but... But yeah, that's a good point. And I think, you know, for anybody that... I think there's some people out there that are kind of limited in terms of, you know, finances. And hopefully this will let you kind of, like, put a target on the cards you need to get without wasting your money on other stuff.
And I will say for myself in mind, you know, I try to be a bit of a, you know, pioneer of the format, And I usually like to have 3 to 4 physical decks built, at the very least, when I'm going to an event, just because, you know, you never know when you'll run into someone that's interested in the format, hasn't gotten a chance to play it. I love to have some extra decks available and just be able to, you know, be like, hey, come jump in, see some Pioneer, play some Pioneer. So for me, I'm definitely going to be looking at, like, hey, I do need to be looking at multiple decks, even if I wouldn't play them.
I mean, I could probably make 10 decks, but I haven't. I have, like, 2 decks built. I have the cards for 10 decks, but...
You know, 10 copies of Waste Not?
There we go. That got pricey.
Did they?
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's like $10, $15 now, I think. Yeah.
Oof.
Why?
So, Kevin, can we rely on you to kind of be the finance part of this, you know, when we say a card?
Yeah, so what we did last time is we were, you know, we just looked these up on MTG Goldfish. We're not affiliated with them. We're not affiliated with, I believe they use TCG Player Mid. Just as a reference point, I'll maybe mention that, but that's not, you know, your prices may vary. If you're in Europe, certainly the prices will vary.
Yeah.
You may be able to get a little bit cheaper than the prices I'm listing off, but just to stay consistent, I'm using, you know, TCG Player Mid coming through MTG Goldfish for when I'm like, hey, blah, blah, blah is so expensive. And you'll hear that a lot this episode. You'll hear me click-clacking over here on my keyboard and then being very surprised because I've been playing on MTGO, and every once in a while I'll be like, oh my goodness, you know, Voice of Resurgence is $3.50.
Yeah.
Well, that's actually pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, I was surprised with some of these, actually.
Clothis is $10. Wow, that's crazy.
Clothis. Was staple of Legacy until recently.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that some of these cards, when we get, I don't know if we're going to get into it, we're not going to get into lands this week, but there's been some big price increases in some cards, and it's because of, like, Modern.
Interesting. So, I'm going over my list trying to figure out what's seeing play in Modern too.
So we'll have to, come back to those later, I guess. But anyways, what are we going to start off with? What color combination? Should we just let the guests go first like we always do, Kevin?
Let's put it all on helmet here.
Okay, well, if you want to start, if you let me start, then I'll choose Rakdos because that's my favorite color combination to play in any form of Magic. So I was actually surprised by the number of good cards Rakdos has, and one of my choices might be cheating, but I'll try and go with it. So for me, do you want to just go over the cards I chose?
Yeah, what do you want to do, Kevin? Is that okay? You want to do all of them? Or
That sounds...
Or do you just want to do like one or two maybe? Or?
Yeah, so like I think my top two are pretty distinct from the following ones. My top two are Kroxa and Colligan's Command.
Yep.
Those see play in like multiple black-red decks. They are clearly very strong. They are very widely applicable. I think all of this listed, like all of our lists, are going to see a lot of play in Niv. And these are definitely cards that are big players in Niv to a various extent. And if you want to play black-red, you're probably going to play these two cards. In almost any kind of deck you're going to play.
Yeah, totally agree. And I think Colligan is what, like $10 maybe now?
I actually just looked up Kroxa and it's like $20, which is a bit more expensive than I expected.
They were like 30 actually, or 40 here in Japan for a while. I don't know if they're still the same price. But Japan has really bad price memory, whereas like the prices don't change. Like they take a long time to go up, which is good sometimes, but they also take a really long time to go down.
Interesting.
Okay. I was going to, you know, maybe this isn't fair to jump in yet, but I was almost going to say, you know, Kolaghan's Command, it is a, you know, $11-$12 card, and it's something where the price is all coming from older formats. You know, it's not mm-hmm. something that's going to get cheaper anytime mm-hmm. soon without a reprint. I almost want to say that, like, there are alternatives that you could reasonably play. You know, if you're playing an Angrass Rampage, if you're playing a Bedevil, maybe, like, it is certainly the most powerful of its effect at its slot. It's hard to be like, this is something you need to pick up a lot of copies of.
I'd
say at most, you know, it's a one to two of in the decks that play it.
Yeah, I would say three. I'd get at least three. But like you said, there's also those alternatives, which is totally fine.
Which don't lose a crazy amount of power, yeah.
So I disagree. I think Kolaghan's Command is really unique because mostly because you can get creatures back from the yard, which is really good with some other cards that you play in those decks, like Arcanist or Luros. But I think two copies are usually enough because then the card is clunky. You don't usually end up playing more than two, and even if you do, it's fine trimming the third and fourth copies. So
okay,
we all have different views on this, I guess. Different opinions on this. But like Croxa is the same, by the way. I think you can definitely deal with like two. You don't need to get the four. Because not a lot of decks can afford to just run four of these.
That makes sense.
Okay,
so we got Kolaghan's Command, Croxa. I think we can all kind of agree on those.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say Claim the Fame.
Yeah, Claim Fame is my next card for sure. Very interesting, very unique, not played mostly in Arcanist, but even when you're trying to like do variants on Arcanist, you tend to play it because it goes so well with the Naysay Karg. Mm-hmm. And it just really meshes well into Red Black's theme in this format, I think.
Honestly, it's a card I've loved for a long time, so I'm happy to see it seeing some play.
And then
a lot of play, really.
And then the next two cards are actually Niv staples. It's Dreadbore and Valky, which is half cheating, yeah. I guess. But Valky is a red-black card, essentially, yeah. So I'm choosing that. Upside for Valky is you only usually need to get one or two copies because mm-hmm. you don't usually play more than that. And then Dreadbore, I wonder how expensive that card is.
And Valky's kind of down from his insane prices. He was like 50, 60 bucks before, I think. Now he's like 25, I want to say.
I mean, that.
Yeah, you know, that's almost one I want to say go ahead and jump on it now. It's at a mm-hmm. pretty low price right now, and it's, you know, current price is coming from Standard only, really. If Pioneer picks up, if more people are playing Pioneer, that price will jump. Mm-hmm. You know, we've seen it higher on MTGO. I don't think it's a terrible time to pick up Valky. If you can get him for, you know, $12, $13, yeah. I think that's a good deal. He might go up from here.
At least, like, the one copy, so you can bring to light into it in various forms. It's a really good pickup.
Yeah, probably don't need a playset.
Yeah.
And I think that's good that we're kind of talking about that. I'm glad that you guys are bringing up you only need like one or two or three or something like that, because people would go out and they'll just like, oh, I need this card, I have to get four of them. And no, you don't need two.
Yeah, it really depends on how you play it in your deck. I mean, there are some companions on my list where it's pretty obvious you only play one, but in some of these other cases, it's not as clear.
So you said Dreadbore as well, right?
Yeah, Dreadbore is also like $3, which is pretty fine. Again, probably like the most efficient removal spell you can play in Beckred in this format. Mm-hmm. Just getting to kill any walker, any creature for 2 mana is too good of a deal to pass on. But also Dreadbore does have some good replacements, as we mentioned. Bedevil, Angrass Rampage,
mm-hmm.
just being Heartless Act, Bloodshift Surge, like these work. So I don't think I would jump to like buy these straight away. If you were short and like if you want to put some money into other cards.
So that's like a top five, but I actually had some honorable mentions.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, did you guys have more on your list or was that all?
Oh, well, why don't you go ahead? Because I'm still thinking here just real quick.
Mayhem Devil, four of pickup. Yeah,
for sure.
It's like what? $1 maybe each? If that. Mm-hmm. So definitely you want that for Jund Sacrifice decks. Pick up four of those, and whoever knows what other deck it might, you know, show up in, like Aristocrats. I always say that. I'm actually financially obliged. They sponsor the show, the Aristocrats, so I have to always I have to always say Aristocrats in every show or we get sued. Sorry. No, but that, and I would also say Slaughter Games is like a one or two up for sideboard is also a good pickup.
It's not a bad one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a little bit Niv specific, but if you're playing Black Red, we see it show up.
Yeah.
The only other one I had on my list is, you know, I'm probably going to say this about almost every color combination here. Pick up a copy of Obosh, just one of them.
Mm.
Yeah.
You know, there's not going to be decks playing more than one, but effectively a playset. Grab one of each of the companions. That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Honestly, you know, Wizards, if you don't listen to my podcast, but if you did, I would love an old frame of all 10 companions. I would buy that in a heartbeat. So make that a secret layer here.
Oh, my God. But not the gold, old gold frame.
Oh, yeah, I'm saying the old frame. Oh, no. I want the trashy one. You know, get a Lurrus from my sideboard and it looks like a brown piece of paper.
Huh. That has me cringe. Okay, yeah.
Anything else in red black?
No, I think that was actually the easiest list for me to make because the cards, like, I think the drop-off between Valky and Mayhem Devil is pretty clear, and the other colors have some really weird choices for me, so excited to go into them.
All right, well, pick the color combination next because I'm going to have to try and stay ahead of you if I'm not thinking in order.
I mean, I can pick the next one.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm a Burrows guy, so I want to talk about Burrows, so it's about red-white.
Okay, we can do that.
So, my first choice, Boros Charm. Mm-hmm. Always a good pickup. Good for Modern as well. I mean, I think we said this last time, some of these cards you could definitely start building your Pioneer deck and eventually turn them into a Modern deck. And Boros Charm is something that kind of sees cross-format play. So, it's like, sometimes, I've seen it go up to like $2 or like $2.50 sometimes. It's probably back down to a dollar now. But, you know, that's one of those things that can kind of spike. It's only been reprinted, what, twice? I think it was, you know, in the original Gate Crash, and I think it was like a Modern Horizons set, maybe?
Was it? Maybe I don't think it was times. Modern Horizons.
Some other supplemental. No. It wouldn't have been Modern Horizons because they didn't reprint anything that was already in Modern.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's once or twice maybe it's been reprinted. Let's see. It's got a decent promo amount.
Versions. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but, there's Commander Legends. Commander sets have been printed. And Masters 25, I guess.
So this is a definite four of. This is something you're going to be playing in Red, White, Burn.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's going to see playing anything else. Maybe some other aggro decks, but definitely it's going to be a Burn staple.
Okay. Yeah, for sure. I have it as like my number two, but like the top three just go all into different decks, so it's not like... It's not really a fight between them.
What's your next Winota? Oh, sorry.
Winota is my number one.
there you go. Next
Winota. Sorry, that was really a mental slip. I did not mean to ruin that for you.
Yeah, so Winota is like my number one, but as I said, it really depends on what deck you play.
Mm-hmm. So what's Winota running in paper?
Just five or six, maybe?
That's a good one. Yeah, that's about right. About $5.
Yeah. It's not so bad.
And what do you guys think? Is that mostly... Will that go down if we wait until fall and Ikoria rotates?
I don't know. Maybe it should go down a little bit.
Does it rotate? Let me double check how the order is going. We did this last time.
God, I think it rotates.
It should be Throne...
Eldrin, yeah. And Theros? Yeah,
Throne, Theros, Ikoria, and... Is it Core 2020? Is that what's rotating? Is that legal and standard?
21, right, not 2020. I
think. Yeah.
Oh, I think it's 21. I don't know. Too confusing for me.
But here's the thing is, like, I think we kind of said this before, and we had someone bring this up. I believe Bridger maybe brought it up in our first Pioneers Discord channel. He was saying that someone just won with Mono Black aggro, and we said maybe it wasn't, you know, like...
We hated on it, and then, yeah, somebody won with it. That happens every time. So, guys, if you got any decks that you really like, just tweet us out, and we'll tell us we hate it, so you'll win the next challenge.
But basically,
when you say someone, that someone was Tiago Saporito, so I wouldn't count that as a win for Mono Black.
But here's the thing. What I wanted to make a point was, like, for something like Winota, I don't know. I wouldn't really say it's been hated out. I think it's lacking pilots. You know, it needs more people playing the deck. This is one of those decks that, like, a highly optimized and a very, how can I say, not strict, but a player that's practiced a lot would.
Yeah. Oh, see, I thought you were talking me up because I might play with Winota later, but then you're like, oh, highly optimized, nope, great so player,
like,
nope.
But like we said last time, we talked about, you know, is it optimized? It's not optimized yet, and, you know, someone that hasn't had a lot of what do you call them? They haven't played it a lot. I can't even think of the word anymore. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about.
They're not very experienced with it, maybe.
They need the reps.
Yes, and there we go, the reps.
I think we had a time where like people were playing Winota a lot because someone innovated with the Zeke's Chariot in it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was super interesting. But then it kind of dropped off again. And I think Winota kind of gets... it gets hated, not in the metagame. Just people don't like it. And I think unjustified. Like, I think the deck is good, but it's also really punishing if you beat it wrong, especially the mana base. So I agree.
It was a little bit of like, you know, people would play Marvel less than how good it was because people, you get ugly looks when you sit down and you're playing Marvel and your opponent looks at you and you roll the perfect Marvel roll every time. Quick jumping in here, because I know that last time when we had this, we didn't have the date, but September 17th is when Standard rotates. It's Throne, Theros Beyond Death, Ikoria, and Corset 2021.
That's nice.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, yeah, we were on the right
track. Not like there. We care. Because
we do care. In the topic of...
I don't care about Standard.
In the topic of finance, when we're saying, hey, this card's going to get cheaper because its price is held by Standard, and that's rotating very soon.
I mean, does Standard really have that much of an impact on card prices anymore? I would say no.
I mean, I think at this point, card prices are almost random because no one was buying cards for a year and a half. I think, like, I honestly think so.
EDH has the highest impact on prices.
Yeah. EDH definitely has high impact, for sure.
Like, cards in Standard will be, like, stupid expensive just because of EDH. Great Hinge. Sorry.
I mean,
Hangy.
But yeah, I don't know if Winota is going to drop below like $5 as long as it's seeing some play in Pioneer, but I don't think it's going up, so it's probably safe to wait.
Okay.
Yeah. Unless we get like,
if it makes any good finishes, grab it. Because I think people will start jumping on it. It's a mythic in a set that a lot of people did not buy. I mean, people did not buy Korea because of the pandemic, so.
So, Ryan, what's your number three?
I mean, I wouldn't say number three, but I guess a Deafening Clarion.
Mm-hmm.
I would have to say, you know, just sees a lot of play. I don't know if it still sees play in Niv, but, you know, it's just a good sideboard card. It might see play in some Jeskai decks as well. I'm not sure what it sees in play in, but it did see play in the past, which means I think that it can still be a staple in the future.
I have Nahiri as my next one.
I like Nahiri a lot. That's a good one.
Nahiri's just so good in Pioneer. It just kills a lot of things and does a lot of things you want to do. It's like, I'm always surprised when Niv plays it. I'm like, wow, this card is so good. And no one else
is playing. I think part of that, you know, we've said that this is one of the best enchantment formats.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You have a lot of enchantments like Fires and Incarnation and like Change of the Rocks and stuff like this, for sure.
So Deafening Clarion, I would say pick up like three, and they're not that expensive, they're like a dollar or something. But what about Nahiri? How many would you guys say we need for the format?
I'm comfortable with one. I think it's really rare that I'd be looking at more than one copy of it.
I think one is good. One or two. I think you want two. I mean, I think Niv plays two, although I haven't seen Claudio's latest list. And I think if you're playing some kind of mid-range control deck that plays Nahiri, you're probably going to want like two of those. But again, it's not...
I feel comfortable with two. I mean, just if you ever need to audible, you know, depending on, like you say, it's a more enchantment-heavy meta, you would not play two of those instead of having one.
Yeah, I can see that.
So,
or if some deck shows up, you know, like the... You know, there was a modern combo deck focusing on Nahiri, or we had, you know, times where you want a discard graveyard deck. Mm-hmm. Like, there are times where something will show up that'll make her very, very strong, and we haven't gotten there
yet. And how much is she? She going for, like, what, $6, $7 or something, I'm going to say?
Let's say she's at $2.
Wow, pick her up.
That's an all-time low. I remember when she was 20 when she was in that Emrakul deck.
I would just pick a couple of those up.
Yeah.
It's really good value.
Get three for that price. No, you probably don't need three. The last one was kind of hard. Did you guys have like a definitive fifth choice?
You know, the only one I could think of was like Showdown of the Scalds has been decent. Like, that's not an expensive card. It's under a buck, but
I have that as my honorary mention. My number five is actually a pair of cards. It's like Feather the Redeemed. It's a Redeemed Feather and 10th District Engineer, because Like, you get these, you basically have half the heroic deck, so...
Yeah.
That's totally fair. Yeah,
I had the Feather on my list.
Yeah, to be fair, I actually think it's more 10th District Legionnaire than Feather, because I usually play Lures in that deck, so... Half the time, you're not even playing Feather.
That's a deck that needs more exploration. Yes. I wish I had the cards for that deck, because I'd love to see what a good Feather deck can do today.
And that's like one of those decks that just, like, you know, if you don't have an answer for it, it just runs away with the game.
Yeah. It punishes also people for trying and, like, go like, yeah, I can play a bunch of fatal pushes and win, because you're just going to die to the protection
God's
spells.
Willing.
And yeah, I want to say, like, both those cards are like 50 cents. So grab four of each.
Yeah, just grab them. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like just $1 or like $2.
You can pretty easily. I think Arcanist is probably going to be an issue for that deck, but otherwise
it's should be pretty cheap. Play Arcanist in that deck if you want.
Yeah, no, I meant in that deck, like, price-wise, it's probably going to be... like the most expensive part of but otherwise it's a really cheap land. And the lands, but even the lands, I mean, you're not playing fetch lands. Sacred Foundry is probably pretty cheap. Like these lands that are not seeing play in Modern tend to be pretty cheap.
That's
just my experience.
Kevin, do you want to choose the next color or
So I'm going to continue with our trend of red and go over to blue red.
Yes. Okay, I thought you were going to do that. I know you too well.
That I can't help but make this difficult for us. Yeah. I feel like I had a handful here that were reasonable.
What's your first choice?
You know, we talked about blue-red pretty recently on the podcast as a bunch of things that are big. You know, that said, I don't have one that's like running away with it, but I've got a lot of ones that will see play in a handful of places. Like, I would love to go and pick up a copy of Sprite Dragon, like a full playset of them.
Yeah.
And they're surprisingly expensive. Do you have a guess on what they cost?
Are they rares or are they uncommons?
Uncommons.
They're uncommon.
Guess what, $2?
Five?
It's like five.
Five really?
Bucks?
Wow.
If you can believe it. Yeah, it's a popular card, sees a lot of play in Modern.
Dies the Fatal
Push.
Also
in Legacy and Vintage, by the way. Also,
yeah, absolutely.
Dies the Fatal Push. Sorry. You guys always say that to me, so.
Dies the Fatal Push. I mean, yeah, Sprite Dragon is a really big one.
Wait, how do we, hang on, how do we put Sprite Dragon in a Jeskai heroic? Okay, never mind.
You need to put Sprite Dragon in a Jeskai Skies deck with Mantis Rider.
Oh my god. If we just had the mana.
Feather.
Honestly, like, Jeskai Tempo, if we had the mana, could actually be good. But right now, I think we're just going to die to your land base.
Yeah.
Also, like, Shadow's Verdict. We kind of need, we need Copter.
Yeah.
We'll call him. I'm not even convinced the deck would play Copter. But yeah, sorry.
If you guys are saying that card, I would say Crackling Drake then is probably on my list as well.
That was another one I was going right for. That one is not expensive.
Yeah, super cheap.
Yeah.
And there's even a more budget one. You could play the other Drake.
Enigma Drake, I believe.
Yeah.
But I don't think you want to play that.
Yeah, I don't think you want to play that. It doesn't cantrip and it doesn't do anything into a Rest in Peace, which is a really big issue.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd almost rather play the one from Strixhaven that creates a token based on the ones in Graveyard and Exile.
Serpentine Curve?
The one that I think we had somebody on the show who's pushing it is like, oh man, this card could actually be.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was like, this doesn't. You could play Riel. Riel doesn't go around the yard hate, but at least you draw cards when you discard, which is really nice.
Oh yeah, you know, I didn't mention in red white, but pick up a copy of Zerda.
Yeah, I mean, companions, just always.
Yeah.
Well, Lutri is an interesting one, but.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Lutri, I think you can skip if you're looking for Pioneer Staples. Yeah.
Unless you want to have some fun. But so, yeah, I agree.
Mm-hmm. Blue red is kind of hard, to be honest. I mean, really? There's a lot of new decks out there, and I don't know if we can say that they're staples. Like, what would you say, Emmett?
So, my last three cards are, like, Strixhaven cards, and they're not seeing a lot of play right now, but I think they are. And these are, like, Prismara Command, Magma Opus, and Expressive Iteration. Mm-hmm. These are definitely three cards that I think, going forward in Pioneer, they're going to see play. Like, there's no way
You know what?
Not.
Okay, so let's talk prices real quick. You know, that's an uncommon, a rare, and a mythic. What are the prices?
Yep, Prismara Command's, like, $1.50, maybe? Or a dollar?
I think it's more, but hang on, let me make sure I'm not looking
Japan
at promo versions.
Japan is not so expensive, I would say.
No, I'm looking at like $4 for
Expressive Iteration is $6.
Yes, that's the one that I was going to be like, guys, this one's ridiculous.
but the card is broken, especially in older formats.
Magma Opus is the cheapest there. You know, you can probably get it for $2-3.
Okay.
So I think you can definitely pick up Prismari Commands at this price because I think they're actually going to go up.
Yeah.
But iterations are probably going to go down at some point.
Yeah, I think we should see it opened still a fair bit, Strixhaven. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
can you say Izzet Charm is a pretty good alternative to Prismari Command if you don't want to spend that money?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think the...
Different decks. I think very specific decks can run Izzet Charm. I think more decks can run Prismari Command. Like, you can see Prismari in Niv, mm-hmm. you can see it in Jeskai, you can see it in a handful of things where you would never run a Izzet Charm.
I think Izzet Charm could be a decent replacement in some decks. Like, I wouldn't play it in Niv, but in Jeskai, I think you can... Well, not the Jeskai combo deck, but if you're playing, like, a more of a tempo deck, then they're, like, kind of similar. But, I think Prismari Command is probably going to go up with time, and Iteration is going to go down. And Magma Opus is just cheap speculation, mm-hmm. which I think is going to be fine, because at some point we might see it see play in Pioneer.
And I've got a few honorable mentions in blue-red. Niv-Mizzet, the blue-blue-blue-red-red one, see some play occasionally. That and Expansion Explosion sometimes. I also think, you know, just got to shout it out, Ral Storm Conduit, maybe will spike one day. If you're trying to be, getting ahead of it, it's a $2 card that could one day be good.
Didn't somebody play it in a sideboard?
Kind of the same...
Phoenix is being
kind of the same way. Saheeli Rai, is it worth picking up copies if it ever becomes unbanned, or are we just assuming that's
really
never
happening? It's not really a staple, though. So I would say
it's definitely not a staple.
Yeah.
Okay, that's...
I mean, just like, if we say that, then, I mean, I could say the same thing about Expansion Explosion. It's not really worth picking up unless the, untapped lands. Yeah, Reclamation gets unbanned.
Honestly, I think it's much more likely that Reclamation gets unbanned than Felidar Guardian.
Yeah.
I think Expansion Explosion is like a decent pickup.
Well, it's, speaking of combo decks, though, the other big card that, you know, should probably be on this list, I think, is the Locust God. But... You know, it's in that new combo, right? It's the Splinter Twin of Pioneer.
Yeah, it's like Splinter Twin, except you can cast your card. I don't know if I think it's a nice pickup at this point, because
it's
not too expensive.
Though. It's like 15 bucks, 20 bucks maybe, I think.
Like Commander, right?
Probably because Commander. Like I was saying earlier, Commander is
I think that's one you can definitely wait
prices.
On.
Yeah.
Like, unless you want to play that card specifically... I don't think it's going to spike a lot more, because even the combo decks that played in Pioneer, they play like one copy.
Yeah.
So you should be fine waiting on this if you don't want it right now.
You want to check the price on that, Kevin? Is he still here?
There's Kevin. I'll check the price.
So I think he's here. Maybe he's here. Maybe he stepped away. Well, let's keep talking until he gets back
then.
Do
you want to choose? Oh, are you sure the Locust God is that expensive? Because it's showing here as $2 from the Commander set. Yeah, I think it's actually not that expensive.
Really?
Yeah, that's what TCG Player says.
Okay. Because I remember seeing price increase going up to like $15 at one point. And I thought that was insane.
But
that's definitely something that Commander could take a hold of.
Yeah, so, I would actually pick one up now then. If it's that cheap, I would pick up one now before it gets more expensive.
You said $900? Or sorry, $9? Sorry.
No, it's actually like $2-3 right now.
Oh, geez.
Which is pretty good.
Pick that up,
then. That's good. Yeah, pick that
up. Get like two of them.
Unless you want like the invocation one, the masterpiece one, which is like $120.
No way. No way.
No shot.
Well, if we're continuing with the red, then the last one is red green, right?
Yeah, I think it is. And I was actually super surprised about red-green.
Well, you want to go first? What's your first choice?
Yeah, so my first choice... Well, this is actually pretty tough. I think the easy answer is Gigantha for me.
Mm.
But
yeah, I
mean, I think
every deck.
Well, that's like in a lot of decks, yeah. Especially when like, you're not playing specifically red-green. But also Burning Tree Emissary is a card I think you should probably... Yeah. Like, if you actually want to play a green or red deck, Burning Tree Emissary might just be a really important part.
Any kind of aggro blue or green-red deck, I think it has that. And I think Claudio's been using it to good effect with, like, the Bushwhacker. You know, you get, like, the turn to emissary bushwhacker.
Yes, just go
something
off
like
with
that.
Them.
And you're what? How much damage on turn two? It's insane. Yeah. So definitely
these
can pick
not
up.
Usually, yeah, and like these decks are not usually, you know, insanely good, but they're also usually never bad. Like you can't hate them out unless it's like exactly vampires are good or something.
Like it's solid tier two, I think, and if you have a good pilot, then it can be better than that. You know, especially if it's like highly optimized, and you know, especially to the metagame.
Yeah,
and sometimes
build, exactly.
Yeah,
you have so many options for three drops.
Yeah. And I'm just like, sometimes, you know, Scavenging Ooze, for example, just kills.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Atarkus Command is a really good card.
Yeah. And it also plays another card that I would recommend, which is Clothis, God of Destiny.
Yeah. Clothis is
I'm surprised Clothis wasn't your number one there. That one's probably my number one as far as, you know, it's tough. It is 10 bucks in person.
Yeah.
I think it's worth picking up a copy, certainly. Maybe two. I feel like that's usually the most you'll see in any of these lists.
Yeah.
Great card.
Two is a good number. Red. Clothis is really good.
Yeah.
It's like,
I mean,
yeah.
It's like a Deathrite Shaman almost at three mana.
It is. I was just thinking about it. It's like, man, you know, what's that meme right now from Invincible? Of like, look what they have to do to imitate a portion of our power. And you got like Clothis and Deathrite Shaman.
That's nice. I actually think that if you want to play red-green, you should definitely pick up Clothis first because you're almost 100% to play two copies in your deck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the priciest thing you'll have to pick up, probably.
In red green. Well, unless you're playing like Henge or something.
Yeah. Well, I mean, true.
And I think after these three, so Kevin, we're talking about Jagantha and Burning Tree Emissary before. And I think after Clothis and these two, it drops off really steeply.
Yeah.
I have Escape to the Wilds, which is still a really good card, but not really seeing a lot of play right now.
Because
and then Atarkus Command, which are like fringe play. Mm-hmm. They're seeing fringe play, but they're not, you know, amazing.
Hmm. And if I was going to pick maybe one of the Planeswalkers, I think Domri, the 3-mana one that makes your creatures +1/+0, is probably the best of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and adds mana and lets you fight. It's like, it does everything you want in these decks, especially if you want to hit 5 mana, so...
Good.
Yeah, I was surprised. That was one of those things in Pioneer that I was surprised that the old 3-mana Domri never saw play. Mm. That almost saw a modern play for a while, and it's just nowhere close to playable now, it seems.
It was dominating Standard at the time, I think.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I think there's just so much. Yeah, like you said, there's so many good 3-drops. I would even say that Gruul Spellbreaker is a good pickup, too. I think it's like $1 or something like that is another one of those. It's probably going to be good as like a 4 in the green-red deck, unless you want to go super low to the ground. If not, it's still like a good optimized, you know, audible change, so it's good to have on hand.
It depends. I almost feel like by the time green-red becomes a good deck, Spellbreaker will have gotten cut. Like when green-red becomes a good deck, it's because one more card got printed that's good, and then Spellbreaker is the card that's going to get cut. Mm-hmm. So I'm almost like, ugh, do you really want it?
For $4? Maybe. Yeah.
Yeah, I think Spellbreaker is actually better than you give it credit in some metagames. Like, if everyone's playing blue-black and you can't target it on the turn it comes in play, it's like a really nice card. But
yeah, and also on your turn, they can't use Settle the Wreckage.
Yeah, which is really nice.
Those blue-black players hate that. Yeah.
Well, I'm not saying blue-black, but I'm saying against if you're playing against a white control deck, they can't Settle the Wreckage you. So
it's definitely a good one. And then I would like to mention one honorable mention, which is Gruul Charm. Traft calls this the Spirit Slayer, because Gruul Charm is just a one, like 2-mana wipe the Spirit Slayer's board. So I think it's a decent pickup in the sense that, like, if your metagames just tends to have some Spirit players, just pick it up. It's like 25 cents. And it's like good, probably like the second best sideboard card after Clothis.
I think
also really Cinder Vines, by the way.
Yeah, I like Cinder Vines too. But I was gonna say, I think as far as like what kind of decks people are gonna be playing, I think, you know, for example, Spirits is gonna be super popular with the player base once Pioneer picks up in paper. I think Mono Black's gonna be super popular. You know, so having, you know, like answers, you know, for example, like Gruul Charm is probably a good idea, you know, calling that out. I think people are going to be priced out of some decks and other decks, you know, that are just going to be like all over the place. And that's another thing. Even though in a competitive, you know, tournament, maybe you'll see all of these decks. I think at local tournaments, you're going to see a lot of those types of decks. Stuff that people can jam and just win real quick or lose real quick and then hang out with friends afterwards. But anyways, tangent over. Sorry. Let's keep going. All right,
so what is your second favorite color, Amit?
Well, I mean, we started with Rakdos. We have to go to Dimir now, right?
Yeah.
Okay, let's go to Dimir. I like it.
So my number one is actually Unmoored Ego. Ooh, which might be a bit surprising, but I think it's a card, like, if you're playing blue-black, you're almost always going to play it. It's probably the best of the bunch of, like, this effect. Even Niv plays it, it's, like, cheap, it hits everything. You can even, like, ego away Lotus Field, if I recall correctly. Mm-hmm. It's just a good card.
Four of any copy, yeah.
Yeah, and then, like, the second one, which is actually really close, is Notion Thief. Because again, that's a card.
I was going to say, great sideboard cards here. Notion Thief's about $1.50, so is... I want to say Unmoored Ego is as well. One second.
But like we're seeing like two Unmoored Egos, maybe?
Oh, not even.
Like two of those and two Notion Thieves?
Yeah, and this should like set up a real huge chunk of your sideboard, because these cards are just really good at what they do.
Mm-hmm.
Notion Thief in particular is really obnoxious against control decks and Phoenix, so that's a really good card to pick up.
Yeah, it's even seen main deck play before. It's a good card.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure.
My choice, Thought Erasure. Great uncommon.
Suppose.
I think. If you're playing blue-black, you're playing that along with Thoughtseize, most likely. And especially if you have any kind of graveyard-type effect. You know, if you're playing Dig Through Time, that Surveil mechanic is just great.
Yeah. If they unban Inverter, we can replay it.
There we go.
Just saying.
And they should be really cheap now because,
Yeah.
No one's seen any play.
I'm just going to be the biggest value add ever, and I'm going to name Garuda as my turn.
Really?
You know, it's cheap. It's very cheap. You know, it's 50 cents kind of thing, and pick up four copies, and you have a deck there.
And with Garuda, you actually need the four copies, actually.
Yes.
Right?
Almost always.
Yeah.
I have seen a non-zero amount of decks that are just, you know, happen to be able to play it for value, but that's pretty rare.
Mm. Yeah. And I think Garuda is definitely breakable in the future. Like, we can...
It is, yeah.
We can end up in a spot where this card is just, like, suddenly doing some insane combo things. So
if they reprint...
I've got a decent Garuda list, but I don't remember... I don't know exactly when you would or wouldn't want to play it, but I've got a decent Garuda list somewhere.
They need to reprint Phantasmal Image.
Do two they mana. Know?
It's I mean, it's two mana, so it's even, right? So you can play it in the deck.
Yeah, but do they need it?
Yeah. It's just I think that might.
It's actually interesting.
No. You have the Lurrus decks playing that.
Ooh.
Oh my god! Yes, please. Okay, I mean.
Bring it back. Is this and bring it back? Is that? Yeah, it'd be insane. Yeah. You know, any other blue black?
Yeah. So Johnny the Lock is a big one. I would actually put it above Thought Erasure. I think Drawn is seeing more play now. It's more versatile. I build a blue-black deck, I almost always end up with like one or two copies somewhere because the card is so versatile in the late game. And then my last two cards are two Ashiok, Nightmare Muse and Dreamrender.
I like both of those.
Yeah, like Nightmare Muse is probably one of the best walkers in Pioneer right now. But it's just not really seeing play because it doesn't have a good shell to play it in. And Dreamrender is a decent sideboard card. Yeah. I'm not excited about it, though.
So we're thinking like two of each of those, then?
At least. Yeah, like, I don't even think you need to pick up the Dreamrender. I mean, it's probably not going to spike in price.
Yeah.
Nightmare Muse, I would probably pick up a couple. Because they're never bad. They're always really good.
Mythic rare as well.
Or it is a, it is Theros, and I don't think it sees modern play right now, so if you want to wait, it might drop off even more.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that's a good point.
So, I got a quick question. We were talking about, you know, cards that might go up, you know, if something gets unbanned. Prized Amalgam and Lazav, are those kind of worth picking up, you know, if Kethis gets unbanned, or if we ever get back, you know, the Oops All Spells deck?
So, I think this is a really good question, because Lazav, I think it depends on the price, right? Lazav is probably really cheap,
Yeah. It's like $1. You can definitely pick those up if you think it's going to see play. I don't think it's going to see play otherwise if Kethys is not unbanned, and I wouldn't count on it. Price Amalgam might actually...
Well, yeah.
I mean, I wish it would. You know my thoughts about the Pioneer format, so...
There's no reason it shouldn't be unbanned. Like, it wouldn't be a broken deck right now.
I mean, I don't know. I honestly don't know.
I'm saying that pretty confidently. Like, okay. I've literally tested it without, you know, without Uro, without Teferi. It would be, you know, it'd still be a combo deck, which we don't have, but it would be a very fair deck. You know, it lost all of its, it lost its backup plan, and it lost its ability to get around hate main deck, which is what Teferi did.
Sure, yeah.
So it's actually hateable, which it wasn't before. Okay.
And Amalgam is also like $1.50, so you can definitely pick those up. I think Amalgam's price is more dictated by, I mean, like, by Modern.
I was saying, you could still play Dredge. It's just not Oops All Spell Dredge. Just play regular Dredge. It's like a tier 3 deck, probably.
Yeah, you know, got a new tool in Strixhaven. I haven't tested it since.
See, we should have talked about that in the optimization thing last week.
That's true. Yeah.
Do you remember this deck called Dredge? Yeah.
It's a good deck.
Anything else you guys want to talk about in blue-black, or do you want
to
move on?
I've got just one long shot that I don't think will be good.
It's Carol God.
I'm waiting for something to be good with Narfi, Betrayer King. Yeah, he's an uncommon. He's like 5 cents.
Oh, okay.
Don't go being like, I'm gonna get this card before it spikes to $50.
Is this a set review episode with me saying crazy things, but it's you? Yeah.
Hey, I've got a few things that I keep being like, I'm going to watch out for something to break that card, because it's got some power.
That is interesting. I also think the Scarab God is always a decent pickup. If
that's fair.
If the format becomes super mid-rangey, then it can see play. Like, and it's probably not very expensive because no one's playing it.
Yep, nope.
Oh, well, never mind. Commander, $16. Don't pick it up.
Which one? Which card is that?
The Scarab God.
Wow.
Unless if you're playing... you know, that one deck that plays like one copy of it. Yeah. So yeah, then you'll grab the copy. Otherwise,
sometimes you play it in the sideboard of Niv.
You guys can move on to black white next.
Mm-hmm.
Is black white okay?
That sounds pretty good.
Because it continues the black. Yeah. Okay, so let's get it off the table. Luris, number one.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Yes, just one copy. Well, what do you think? Are there decks right now that are still playing main deck copies?
I think not enough decks play main deck copies for what it's worth.
Yeah, there was a little while where there were quite a few decks playing main deck copies. You know, we were seeing a bit of the like red-white equipment deck. Mm-hmm. We were seeing it in the Fires deck, the like the one that uses the card that I always mispronounce, even though I play the deck.
It was in Hammer Time as well, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, the red-white equipment deck.
Oh, it's black-white, right?
No, it was black-white, yeah.
Okay, or black-white, yeah, whichever equipment deck.
I forgot about that deck.
But yeah, did I get two, just in case? I mean, you'd be fine just getting one.
Yeah, I would get one. I would start off by getting one.
One is a staple, two is a, if you know you'll use it, I think.
Yeah, like, I would start with one, I think. And then, if you want to play the deck, you can pick it more, but the one should cover most decks in the format. That play it.
Alright, next card in black-white, you guys. What do you think?
Primeval's Glorious... No.
I have Vanishing Verse as my next card. And I think after Vanishing Verse, it drops off pretty quickly.
Yeah, Vanishing Verse is like, what, $4 maybe now, I think?
It is currently, you know, like 2.5.
Okay, it's not so bad.
Yeah. Despite being Strixhaven. You know, Strixhaven hasn't had a ton of paper demand, so maybe that's not driving it.
Yeah.
So maybe grab it before it spikes is a good idea. Mm.
Yeah, that's actually a good point. I mean, it's probably going to see some playing standard after rotation.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's really good. I think it's a good time to pick it up.
Yeah. Kevin, what do you think? Next card.
You know, it's tough. Like, there's a handful of humans cards. Like, I don't hate you know, General Kudrow, General's Enforcer, Dire Tactics, all kind of go together, but
Silencer.
Just in the one deck. And Silencer. Yeah. What is that one
That's
called?
A big one, I think.
Otherwise, though, Oath of Kai is one that I've definitely got on my list.
For sure, yeah.
Yeah, that's not an expensive card. Maybe, you know, under $1, but it's a pretty strong card.
Yeah, I would definitely recommend. You get four, right, if you're going to play that in the Yorion deck?
I don't think... I don't think there's currently a deck that uses four. You probably could, you know, it's cheap enough.
Three's probably fine.
But
I think three to four is fine. And again, it's if they're not very cheap. expensive, yeah, yeah, it's like
grab a playset.
Have a dollar. It's probably good enough.
Yeah.
And then you have... Probably. I have other end if we go on with removal spells.
Mm-hmm.
Still seeing play in Niv. Still important piece in that puzzle, but I think one or two should cover you for,
yeah.
for most
it's,
everything.
It's like 20 cents, 30 cents probably or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not that expensive. Better than Anguished Unmaking.
Yeah, surprisingly so.
But
for the decks that want to run, just because we don't have an aggressive black-white yeah. deck that doesn't have better removal.
I think D-Spark having like two of those for a sideboard is probably good.
Yeah, these are all cheap. Reasonable cards. Yeah. There's nothing else that's popping out to me as being a staple.
Yeah.
So, nothing staple, but I think if you want to get good bang for your buck, then Blood Baron of Iskopa and
yes.
Kaya the Planeswalker, the 3 mana one.
Yes.
Yeah, both of those.
Yeah. I see Ryan is with me here.
I have that on my list.
Those are good sideboard
I just,
cards.
I didn't want to be the one to say it and then get shot down, so.
No, I think these are really good sideboard cards. I mean, you need to find the right metagame, but they're always going to be good. And Blood Baron can just, like, randomly win you games. Mm-hmm. It's just, like, there's no deck that actually wants it actively, but...
In the right
if
meta.
You're, yeah, for sure. For sure.
And it,
definitely.
You beat every deck, you know, except for a red deck.
Mm-hmm. Even then, it's like 4-4 lifelink.
Yeah.
It's really good. Okay.
We want to move to black green.
Yeah,
you know, we can keep it
yeah.
moving.
Let's keep yeah, it yeah. moving. Yeah, the two mana.
Why don't you start us off, Ryan?
Abrupt Decay
yeah,
and Assassin's
yeah, a lot
Trophy.
Of kill spells.
Yep.
Sorry.
Those seem reasonable.
Yeah.
Witherbloom Command probably fits in the same category, but you probably don't need you know a playset of all of them
yeah.
certainly.
Yeah.
You know, Assassin's Trophy. I think at most you'll ever play two.
Yeah.
Yes.
Abrupt Decay, maybe 2 to 3.
Yeah.
Like all of these are kind of. They tend to fit into a suite
mm-hmm.
of removal spells,
yeah.
while never being a 4 of.
It depends on the meta. So, like you said, 2 to 3 is probably a good number.
Yeah, for sure, for mm-hmm. sure. And yeah. I would even say that, like, don't pick them up unless you know you're going to play them, because I'm looking at, like, my black-green list, and none of these cards actually sees a lot of play.
Mm.
It's kind of insane.
How they're not deep priced here. I would think Abrupt Decay has been reprinted to Lamgus, and that's like about $5 or $4, if not
mm-hmm.
less than that. And a trophy
yeah.
was kind of pricey at one point, but I think it's probably down to like what $6 or $7 again. I don't know.
No, it's actually 20. So
is it still 20?
I would have
yeah,
to get rid
it's
of that.
Not,
jeez.
Yeah, it, that's that easily 20.
Okay, maybe just
yeah.
get those Abrupt Decays then.
Yeah, Decay is a good pickup now. I think it might go back up in price at some point. So.
Mm.
Right now, it's good.
You know, when Jund eventually becomes good and modern again.
Mm-hmm.
I was more thinking when, like, maybe something happens in Legacy, actually.
Yeah, that seems more likely.
Yeah, like counterbalance or something.
Hmm. All right, what's the next one, Kevin? What, in green-black?
Oh, wait, hang on. You know, it's kind of a meme, but Fiend Artisan is still on my list. That's probably
yeah.
a special mention. Let me find some better examples of... Oh, Grizzly Sun. No, not...
Yeah.
Grizzly Self is another one on my list. Binding the Old Gods is the one I was thinking
mm-hmm.
of. That one's, you know, not expensive either, but I think
yeah.
it's seeing play here and there. For a while, it was seeing play in a lot of decks.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's down right now.
Yeah.
Under a buck, I like that card a lot. Probably an easy pickup.
Yeah.
And then those couple I just kind of quick, I'll mention, you know, Grizzly Salvage might see some play. Fiend Artisan might see some play. That one's kind of expensive, but I think that most of the price is from Commander, so I don't know how much it'll drop.
Yeah, grab 4 Grizzly Salvage. It's just a really effective, really efficient enabler for graveyard decks.
Yeah, if a graveyard deck is ever good in Pioneer, it probably plays that and
yes.
Seder Wayfinder.
Yes.
Yeah.
And let me throw in a Wolf, a Sir Wolf, actually. Which
I love Sir Wolf.
I think it
sees play.
Mm-hmm. No, it doesn't see play, but I think like right now it's like 25 cents or something,
mm-hmm.
and it could definitely see play. The card is really good, especially if like auras pick up again. Sir Wolf is insane
yes.
in that matchup.
It's so good in that matchup.
Yeah. And like,
I love it because the decks that run it are usually something like Niv, which is also going to run a copy of the Tulsimir.
Mm.
Yeah. Oh.
So
wow.
It's just that Wolf combination. Once you have Tulsimir in play, like I will bring to light for Sir Rolf anytime I can because it's just so good.
Speaking of Niv, would you guys say that Casualties of War is like a one or two of is worth picking up as well? Those can't be too pricey.
Yeah. I have it as an honorary mention.
Yeah, Green Black has a lot of honorary mentions. They've got a lot of variety of reasonable cards, you know. cards like Vraska, I think the format of Vraska is another one where it's like, that's a good card, and you're not seeing a ton of play, but if you're in those colors, it's certainly an option.
Too.
Only other one I might say is Grab 4, Winding Constrictor. They're real cheap right now. Yeah. I don't know when it'll be a deck again, but maybe one day.
I mean, we just need other good counter spell, or sorry, good cards that put counters on things, or creatures that can counter. What
we need is we need, you know, interaction that's a creature with counters on it.
If they, like, nerf Ballista a little bit, but it's still decent, maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we have that. It's called, what's that called?
You know what I'm talking about. Little dude with the crossbow.
Yeah.
It's like sorcery speed.
And, it has to, like, tap to use its ability and pay mana.
Yeah, it's like for each mana you put into it, it's something weird,
All
right. It's a nerf Ballista, though.
And it is, I think that's good for green black, unless you guys have anything else.
No,
it's probably fine.
Yeah, there's like three left. So for doing green, how about green white next?
Yep.
Green white.
Okay, what is your number one, Kevin? I wonder.
Yeah.
I actually, I do wonder. Actually, I have two options for what you would have as number one.
I mean, it's not Tulsimir. I think Dromoka's Command is probably a better pickup than Tulsimir.
Really?
I don't know if those are the two you're thinking of.
I actually think. Okay, yeah. Go on. I'll give my opinion a bit.
You know, maybe I haven't put the time into this that I need. I love Tulsimir, but, you know, it's a one of, and it's not in a ton of decks. I think that's... Oh, Voice of Resurgence. That's probably the smarter choice. There we go. We talked about this earlier in the show, is why I think I'd already crossed
And you're going to play Winota today.
Yeah. You know, it's a $2, $3 card. Used to be like a $40 card in Standard.
I picked them up near 40.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, definitely an easy pickup. And sees play in actually quite a few decks, surprisingly.
Yeah.
You know, sees play in Winota, sees play in, you know, some Niv versions and things. Like, it gets around a bit.
It's a really good... In some metagames, the card is absolutely insane, and otherwise, it's just good value. If you're playing green-white, you're going to play Voice, probably.
So four of those, for sure.
Yeah, I would recommend four, I think.
That's a good pickup. Yeah, it's not a new card, so maybe you still have you already have it in your collection. But if you don't, good time to grab it if you're getting into Pioneer.
Yeah. And then, even before Dromoka's Command, I think Tulsimir is a nice pickup as a one-off because you might play the Niv. That's it, basically. But Knight of Autumn is a really good sideboard card
in Pioneer. That's a good one. I like that.
Yeah. So I think I would pick that over Dromoka's Command. Although I would love Dromoka's Command to see actual play. The card is really sweet.
So
I gotta go back. You know, Claudio had a Niv version that was playing Dromoka's Command specifically so he could fight his Niv against other Nivs, and it was crushing. So I gotta go back to see if that's a thing.
Yeah.
So Knight of Autumn, four of or three of or
two or three of?
I think. Should be good. Again, it shouldn't really be expensive, right?
No, I don't think so. I'll double check it.
I'll check it too.
Is there anything from the last, you know, four, five, six, seven sets that you wouldn't have gotten? Before the pandemic, because I'm kind of like I feel like I've got all the green and white cards that I would need.
I would say Yasharn, Implacable Earth.
Yasharn is a good one.
That's a good
one for sure.
That's a good one.
He saw some play in Omnath. No,
or it's good. It's a good sideboard card. Yeah,
it really hurt the version of Black Red Sacrifice or Green Black Sacrifice, whatever it is, Jund Sacrifice that was running, just running the Citadel.
Yeah.
I think that deck has evolved past the point where it's a hard counter, but that was basically the card that stopped that deck, I think.
Yep, for sure.
So grab two, I would say.
Yeah.
just to respect it.
Yeah.
Grab two.
And then Kahira is a good one.
I was thinking
gotta grab one Kahira.
Yeah, and the one Kahira is actually like going to see play in like control decks and stuff. So I think it's a really nice pickup.
And if Cats ever gets good.
Yeah, I mean, the fun part about Kahira is you can play it with zero creatures in your deck.
Yeah.
And then it's like, just randomly a creature for control, a finisher.
There we go.
And we have Shock Typhoon, so it makes sense for this to see play at some point.
Yeah.
Definitely, yeah.
Also, my pet card, Flower Flourish, probably never going to be good, but pick it up.
Oh, I'm not the only one who plays that card sometimes. Oh, that card's great.
I just love it. I like it way too much.
So what else is on the green
Who
white?
Who doesn't love mana fixing?
So we had Knight, we had Voice, we had Yasharn. What's next?
Maybe one day Dryad Militant, but I don't think today.
No. Yeah.
Maybe one day Fabro Elder or Fleece Midline. Yeah, you know, a lot of these cards that are kind of just fair and not going to see
Tulsimir, you were saying earlier, definitely want to pick up at least one of those for Niv, right?
For Niv, yeah, for sure. Yeah, yeah. And it just shouldn't even be, it's like 25 cents.
Yeah.
You can very easily pick up one. It's probably also not going up ever, so.
Yeah.
Okay, should we do blue-white now, Azorius?
Yeah, if you want to.
That sounds good. Yeah, we haven't done that.
That was a surprisingly strong list for me, the Azorius one.
I got it easily. There was five I definitely thought should be talked about.
Mm-hmm. Number one is Yorion, right?
That sounds great.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, it has to be Yorion. Again, it's
do you
not
pick up one or do you pick up a couple for Yorion?
That's a good question.
Two or three, maybe?
I think you can. It's like $3. The first one I would take for sure. And then if you're not playing fires, like the polymorph fires, I'd pick up four.
Okay.
When you play Yorion, it's really good in your deck.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if Poob makes a comeback.
I'd say Spellqueller definitely. Mm-hmm.
For sure. Yeah.
I'm not gonna jump the gun to buy four of them just because of the price. Let me quick check.
Seven what that's or at eight, right
maybe. Now.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Okay, that's reasonable. I thought it was more than that just because of modern.
Yeah.
I think you could pick up four. It is a little bit that I don't think it sees play outside of the spirit stack right now. You know, you occasionally see it in something else, but it's not common enough.
But
where I think that's one that you can pick up if you know you'll use it.
But again, like I said, I think this is going to be like one of those crowd favorites. So I think that the supply is going to dry up. So I'd pick them up at like six or seven if you can get them.
Okay, I think that's reasonable. Yeah. I think, you know, in the vein of, I had that lumped in with Watcher of the Spheres and Empyrean Eagle, where if you're playing spirits, you're going to want all of these. Mm-hmm. If you're not, I could skip them personally.
Got it.
For what it's worth, I think if we ever get better mana for Pioneer, like when we get, then Queller is going to see a lot more play.
Mm-hmm.
That's fair.
But that might be a while off, so there's no rush to it.
Hmm.
What else do you have?
How about blue-white control pieces? I feel like there's a handful there. You know, Azorius Charm is cheap. That's nothing to worry about. Teferi Hero of Avanera is still not cheap, unfortunately.
It's like 20 or 15, maybe, I want to say.
Like 30.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's expensive. Yeah. I mean, Teferi is one of the best blue-white cards in the format, though. Yeah. So if you plan on playing control, you need them.
Yeah, basically.
As unfortunate as that may be.
I don't think there are four of right now, though, which is nice.
Probably like a three off. You can maybe get away with a two off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I think the three are worth it. Like, if you're playing blue-white, you're going to need that card.
Yeah.
Yes.
And if you're, like, if you're running blue-white control, sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say the other piece real quick, we should talk about Supreme Verdict. I think it's still
that was the other one I had in the same line.
How many do we need though? Four.
Verdict is kind of a weird card in that a lot of the other sweepers in Pioneer are better than it because of like metagame considerations. So I think Verdict is there strictly for like if you're playing blue-white control. And then you probably need the four, although you can split them with Set of the Wreckage maybe.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe like three is a good number.
Yeah. Okay.
I guess you also have the mono white one, Shatter the Sky.
But I think Verdict's better than Shatter at least.
Yeah.
For sure. I wonder if it's expensive, Verdict.
Verdict?
Oh, I was just looking
like
at
$6.
It.
It's $6 to $7.
Yeah, $6.
It's not so bad.
Yeah. And I think the big... Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
I think the biggest bang for your buck, and I think that goes for like almost any blue-white deck in the format, is Dovin's Veto.
Yes.
Yes, that was the last one I wanted to touch on. That one's a buck. One to $2, certainly.
Yeah, and it's like, it's a dollar and a bit here.
Totally worth
it. And it's like, it's just so good.
How many are you going to get, though? Three? Four? Two?
I think three is good.
Yeah.
You might play the fourth, although it's usually not necessary, unless the metagame really shifts into like Lotus Field nonsense. But it's just so good. It just stops so many things in the format. I would definitely go for that. For three of those.
I agree. That's five, unless you guys had any honorable mentions.
It's good good for me?
No, I'm good. I had my spirits as honorable mentions, but yeah.
Mm, yeah.
So what's left then? What do we have?
Simic.
Blue green?
Yeah, which has the king of the format on top.
Really?
It's not a Simic card, but.
Yeah.
You talking about Bring Delight?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, $2.50 probably. Not bad.
Is it? Really?
It's not super expensive. Yeah,
I remember getting it for like $1.
That set was opened a ton, if you remember.
Yeah, it's $1.50 here, yeah. And it's probably like one of the strongest cards in any of the lists we made. So Bring to Light is definitely, pick up 4 of these, you're going to play them at some capacity at some point.
Yeah, sounds reasonable.
Honestly, after that card, I had no idea what to talk about anymore because Uro's gone.
You know, Uro's gone. So obviously you go to Oko next, right?
Yeah, I was about to
Oko's
say that.
Oko's gone. Yeah.
My next card is actually Growth Spiral. Is my next card.
Certainly. Oh, yeah.
The silent killer of formats. Banned in standards, I recently learned.
Yes, it is.
What do you have after this, Ryan?
I mean, I had Hydroid Krasis just because it was like in the Nissa decks and stuff like that before.
Yeah.
I don't know if it still sees play. I mean, it can't be too expensive. Really. It's like, what, $8, $7 maybe now, if that.
Hmm.
So.
Yeah, and I don't know even know if I would pick up one now. I mean, unless you have a specific deck you actually want to play it in. It's like $14.
Is it 14?
For some reason, yeah.
Yeah, wait till it'll go down.
Wait it out. Yeah.
What is that one rotating? Yeah, that one should be rotating, right?
It's already rotating.
No, it's not. It's already rotated. It's probably Commander.
Yeah.
But, right.
But I actually have 2 more cards that are seeing play. I think Coma is a really good pickup. Maybe not right now, but at some point in the future. It's just going
to
be...
Yeah, it's tough. That one's not rotating. It's already about 15, you know, $12 to $15.
It's not worth it. I would actually pick up like a couple of copies at like $12 or something.
At least the one of them, maybe.
At least one. Yeah, I mean, it's usually, it's always gonna be a good sideboard card in a format where you have a bunch of blue big decks.
Yes.
So I like that, and then I have Decisive Denial as well.
Oh, okay, that one's
Which
cool.
one's yeah. that?
It's the
new Strixhaven counter or fight card.
And it's like super medium, but blue green is always going to be this kind of decent deck, like the Gruul deck we talked about. So you can definitely pick it up if you want.
What's crazy is how that card's only medium and it's 1 mana cheaper than Teemer Charm, which was the same card, but for 1 more mana than that third color.
That is true. Teemer Charm. That card. People thought it would see play.
Oh, it's so bad. Pick up a Karuga. Just one.
Karuga is a good one, yeah.
I think Kinnan's actually reasonable. You know,
that's a good point.
Wow. Commander's driven some price on that one. It's like $5 easily.
5 is not even that bad.
Yeah. So, you know, it's maybe not something to go and buy 4 copies of if you're not sure you'll play it, though. But I think it's a cool card. One that I know I'm going to grab 4 of because I don't own it in paper is Enigmatic Incarnation.
Okay.
Oh, that's a really good one. Cheap. That's a really good one. Yeah, yeah.
Super cheap, super fun. I think it's worth grabbing.
Should probably be on the list instead of Krasis.
Yeah.
It's like an actual deck.
I like it more than Krasis.
Yeah. And then I have Tamiyo as my honorary mention. I want that card to be good so badly.
It was seen play before, right? When it was like Uro was in the format.
Yeah, yeah. It's good for very specific roles.
Nexus of
When there's
Fates.
Good graveyard combo decks, yeah.
I hated that card in Nexus of Fate.
Yeah, it was so good in that deck. Oh my god.
Yeah. It's like, oh, you can't Thought Seize me. Oh, I'm just going to grab that back. Oh, hey, look, game over.
I mean, it's like mill five cards. Oh, I have no deck. You're locked out. Easy.
that's magic at its... Yeah.
Like, Richard... Like, Richard Garfield intended.
Yeah, that's magic how Richard Garfield intended. There we go.
I wanted to say, if anyone wanted to speculate, I think Kinnan is a decent speculation because the engine of like mana is there. You have Springleaf Drum, Jaspera Sentinel, Mox Amber. We just haven't found a good list, and like something could break it in the future. So, if you feel like buying a lottery ticket, Kinnan is not the worst one.
Mm-hmm.
There's a few other that are like interesting, like, hey, if you know, Energy ever takes off, Rogue Refiner is great. If Elementals ever takes off, Risen Rift is great. Risen Rift,
from Commons. Yeah. I like Risen Rift as a good pickup.
Okay. So I guess we covered all the cards, we covered all the colors.
What about Neoform? Should we quick? Yeah. You know, that's also a 50-cent card, maybe. I'll stop talking about uncommons.
So, I think for the most part, these cards have been pretty cheap. And we've said this again and again. Pioneer is a very accessible format. It's very easy for people to put decks together. It's very easy to play. There's a couple cards that are kind of pricey. And that being said, you know, we did see a couple of these cards with, like, super high prices because of EDH. And I wanted to ask you guys, do you think that, you know, these EDH prices are going to have any impact on the accessibility of Pioneer in the future? What do you guys think?
That's an interesting question. I'll actually try and open a list of, like, the most paid cards in the format or something.
Like, Henge is, like, 40, 50 bucks, right? Growing Rights of Itlamok, I believe, is, like, $20-$30 card now.
I just think it's way too hard to tell because, you know, the prices are currently, the paper prices are currently driven by everything but Pioneer. Yeah. So it's so hard to say what's going to happen when, but, you know, standard play comes back, when limited play comes back in paper, when Pioneer play picks up, all of those things. Like, it's so hard to say.
Right? But are these EDH prices, these usually don't change, right? I mean, they stay pretty high forever. Is that going to affect Pioneer in the future? You know, if there is an Itlamok deck or a great Henge deck in the future, is that gonna, you know, hurt the format?
So I think it's not, because not because, like, it's not gonna affect cards in the format, but because you're always gonna have options that aren't affected by it. Like, I think if you look at Baron Spirits, Mono Black, some green aggro decks, they're probably not gonna be fighting with these EDH players for, like, cards that are expensive. So it's not gonna affect the accessibility of the format. It might wrap prices for some decks, which is gonna suck, but if you want to play Pioneer, you're gonna be able to. Okay. And I think that's gonna be the case for, like, and I think that's not the case for other formats as much as it is for Pioneer, because Pioneer right now is, like, funnily enough, not seeing so much play. Then unlike Modern or Standard, you always are going to have a really good deck that is cheap. Like Blue-White Spirits. When it is ever going to be expensive? I don't know. Maybe if Spellquaker pops up. I don't know. That's my opinion.
Yeah, or maybe if modern Spirits explodes, it gets more expensive. But
yeah, but even then, it's like one card, and it should be fine, I think.
Okay.
I hope it doesn't affect us too much.
Do you want to say anything on that, Kevin, or are you good?
No, I think I'm good. You know, I've said my piece is that it's hard. It's too hard to guess right now.
Last question. How far do you think we are from Paper Magic, from Paper Pioneer? How many months?
I don't think it's that far. If my LGS opens, I'm going to be shouting it out and going real soon. I really need to, you know, listen. I'm going to probably, when this episode comes out, listen to this one, listen to the previous one, and go place a nice order on some things.
Yeah.
All right. I have a vague hope that maybe Wizards actually bring back Pioneers, like a premier format for PTs and stuff, if this ever exists again. Because Historic is going to be kind of weird to play in paper, I think.
Yeah.
And Pioneer was the actual, like, original format they played.
Yeah, and if Wizards is listening, we want to be your hype guys. We will hype up Pioneer for you every week.
I would like to be your presenter. I mean, for Pioneer.
We do that anyways, so we're not promising a lot, but... There we go. All right.
Well,
anything else? Can I bring us to the end of our show here?
Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah, you know, a little bit of a long one, but this was a lot of fun. Thank you guys for joining me. Thank you all for listening. Hopefully this is helping some of you out there if you're building your own collection. If we missed anything, if you've got any ideas of your own, if there's any shows you'd like to hear, or if you'd like to stay up to date with Pioneer, the best place to follow us is at MTG Pioneer on Twitter. You can also find links to our Discord there. You can find links to all of our affiliates. Anytime somebody's streaming, we're tweeting it out. Anytime something's breaking the format, we're tweeting it out. Great place to go and, you know, talk to us, catch up on the format, etc.
And, of course, you guys can find me on Twitter as well. Yoschwenky. There we go.
you know, the 1 week you were off, we struggled to try and spell out your Twitter name. We're like, oh my God, what is it? Yeah. How does it work?
Late for me, early for you, and yeah. But yeah, yes. Definitely, we will continue this later on. We'll have our next episode about this. I don't know, maybe after the previews. I'm not sure. We'll see. But anyways, Amit, how about you? You want to throw out some of your promotional links?
Yep. So you can find me at EkerosMTG. That's EkerosMTG. Both on Twitter and streaming 4 times a week. I stream a lot of Pioneer. Come check it out. And yeah, thank you for having me again. It's always great fun to be here.
A lot of fun. All right, guys, that's going to bring us to the end of our show. Thank you so much for listening. We look forward to being your go-to source for Pioneer information online. Your First Pioneers podcast, signing off.